Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of consciousness. That means body, mind, spirit, and I think there's nothing better that I've found than understanding qi, practicing qigong. And I'm talking to a woman who's organizing a big women's qigong festival, Immortal Sisters. I mean, it's not just about qigong, but it's about... What is it about, Sharon?
Well,
I'm talking about Sharon Smith.
I'm Sharon Smith.
Yes, yes.
And I'm the director of the Immortal Sisters Conference, which is a conference celebrating and cultivating yin in an overly yang society. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of Taoist lingo to say that in our society, we are in a mode of being overly young, overly active, overly busy, you know, go, go, go. Do things to accomplish. Anyway, so this conference is to cultivate the qualities of yin, which is receptivity, healing, nurturing, self-care, to honor the quality of yin in a world that has really gone out of balance. Mm-hmm. And anybody who studies Taoism or Chinese medicine or Tai Chi or Qigong knows that the yin-yang symbol, which shows the balance between yin and yang, is a state of harmony that if we go away from that state, we are in trouble. So as a culture, we're in trouble. Many individuals are in trouble because our culture is overly emphasizing the qualities of yang. And you can say, well, yes, we're living in a male-dominated society. Well, it's not just about that. It's about the qualities of yang that have been basically elevated over the qualities of yin. Everybody thinks it's better to be busy than not busy, to accomplish, to do. There is, of course, a movement that has been happening to emphasize self-care and nurturing and the whole holistic integrative medicine. Of course, is trying to create that balance. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so this is a historic conference. There has never been a gathering of Taoist women practitioners of Qigong and Tai Chi and Taoist meditation coming together in this way. And we also have a component in our program, which has to do with activism. We have Eve Ensler, who is the keynote speaker, who's talking about healing the body of the world. And we also have Julia Butterfly Hill. You might know her as the author of a book called Luna, which basically talked about her years of living in a tree. On the West Coast as a protest against logging industry out
let
there.
Let me just ask you a question, because you talk about yin, and we'll go more into what that actually means, but don't you think a lot of women have forgotten their own true nature as well? They've forgotten what the yin essence was.
I think that's totally true, and this is one of the big aspects of this conference is focusing on, well, first of all, it's a women's conference.
Only women can come, you're saying. Only women.
That's right. It's for women. Only women can attend. Only women are presenters. And if you know anything about the polarity of energy, you know that if you need to cultivate something, it's very good to be around that quality. So being around yin for 5 days, cultivating yin energy, I think will be very healing for a lot of women. Because, yes, I think many women now are feeling like the only way to live right now is to act like men.
But what is yin? What does what does it mean to have the qualities of yin? What is yin as opposed to yang?
Okay. That is like the basic question.
Yes.
So, if you look at the original Taoist philosophy, in Taoism, they say that wuji, which is nothingness, becomes tai chi, which is two things, yin and yang. So from nothing, you get two things, and from those two things evolve what they called the 10,000 things, which is everything. Yes. But those 10,000 things come from the energetic relationship between yin and yang. And so originally, that had to do with the mountain. So where the sunlight was shining on the mountain was yang, and the shadow of the mountain was yin. So it evolved in many people's ideas as kind of traditional ideas about masculinity and femininity. But I like to think of yin as an essential energetic quality that comes out of the female body. And so what I mean by that is, what makes a body female? Well, females have breasts, they have vaginas, they have ovaries, they have uteruses. And what are those organs designed to do? Well, the breasts, of course, are designed to nurture and to feed the next generation. The vagina and the birth canal is the entrance into the world that we all take. Well, except if you're cesarean born, of course, you get lifted out. And it's a lot easier for you. But most people still are born vaginally. That means they pass through the birth canal. They pass through a kind of a process in order to be born. And so there's an emergence. So there's something about the female body that has to do with emerging and moving from potential into actuality. So there's this emergence feeling. Your ovaries, of course, are what is the essence of your creativity. And your uterus holds the growth of the next generation. So if you look at all these aspects of the female body and you look at what is essential underneath those things, you get nurturing, care, emergence, creativity, and because the breasts are located so close to the heart energy is very important for most women. So you link that loving nature to your nourishing ability, to your creativity, and of course to your sexuality. The vagina, the clitoris, this whole part of our body is there for pleasure. So pleasure is also a part of essential yin, I would say. And I like to call this the yin essence. All of these qualities come out of the female body is, for me, the yin essence.
Well,
so when you talk about yin,
give us then in contrast the yang, the male essence, then if that's receiving, nurturing, and of course we're over in the yang, but how would you qualify yang in terms of the body and the man?
Well, the most obvious thing, of course, is the penis and the force of ejaculation, and the heat of that. So there's heat, there's activity, there's movements. There's making something happen in the world. You know, if you talk about women, of course, these days there's a lot more discussion about female ejaculation, but actually, for most, if you look at sexuality, the in the bigger sense, men produce ejaculation, women take in the experience of orgasm. So there's this production that men have to produce, to be active, to make something happen. Like that.
So
there's more to it. But,
no, I know, but you're saying the focus is on yin, and that's receiving as opposed to giving, and also the kind of left brain, male-dominated control and logic and
it's more focused on feeling.
Right.
I think there's also nurturing and caring in there, but it's focused on that kind of feeling.
Right.
And it's not so focused on the intellectual part of it, but the creative process of creating. Women are able to create the next generation through the substance of their own bodies.
Well,
men can't do that.
Well, they do it by contributing to that with the sperm, of course. You know, they create.
Yeah, of course.
Substance. So,
but it's not happening inside their own bodies. That's the difference.
Right. They're not giving birth to another whole being. But so I think it's an important conference. When you say immortal sisters, what's the immortal part about then?
Okay, so the title of our conference comes from a book by Thomas Cleary called The Immortal Sisters, The Secret Teachings of Taoist Women. And we take our name from this to honor and be inspired by these spiritual adepts who lived from like the 10th to the 13th century.
Let me just clarify something. He didn't write the book, Thomas Cleary. He just translated it.
He translated it.
Right. Okay. So, okay.
Familiar with it?
Yeah. So he translated the...
Are you familiar with it?
I think, I don't know. What's it called again? The Immortal Sisters?
The Immortal Sisters, Secret Teachings. Teachings of Taoist Women.
No, I should get that book. It sounds like a great book. And what does he say in that book?
Well, it's a translation of original texts by these spiritually advanced women and practitioners who lived long, long, long ago. And there are particular women who are featured in this book. The most famous one is Sun, S-U-N,
yes.
And the last name is, or the last name, like they had last names in China, Buer, B-U-E-R, Sun
okay.
Buer.
And why is she the most famous of them?
Because she wrote a lot of material, and she was also very famous because she had three. Okay, so she was born in the 12th century, and she was like known for a famous set of poems, and there are commentaries of these poems, and they're written in there. And basically, she was a spiritual adept. I could read you.
Yes, read us
passages.
Yes, read us one of those passages. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm gonna look for something.
Before you look for it, the idea, though, what I think that you haven't gotten to when they call themselves immortal sisters is that it seems, according to legend, some of them actually became immortal. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
They were considered to be immortals in the Taoist tradition.
Do you feel they did achieve immortality? I mean, they did not die.
We're still talking about them. So,
No, but in the physical body, because I think that's possible.
I mean, Yeah, I mean, people have different ideas of what that means.
Well, the Tibetans call it the rainbow body. There's other traditions that have names for it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
Some did achieve that.
Babaji, there's a whole immortal tradition within the Hindu stories. So anyway, so yeah, let's hear what she had to say, because, I mean, hearing those almost direct words could activate something in us, right?
Yes. Okay, so here's one called Cultivating the Elixir. And the first two lines are for women only. Tie up the tiger and return it to the true lair. Bridle the dragon and gradually increase the elixir. Okay, that's for women only. And then she continues.
Wait, let me just interrupt. For women only, meaning, is she referring to the menstrual cycle? Whether she talks about the dragon?
She's talking about the tiger energy and the dragon is the spirit. And the true lair is the area between the breasts. So to tie up the tiger and return it to the true lair is explained as when women cultivate immortality, they must first accumulate energy between the breasts.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, then what?
And so then she continues, nature should be clear as water. Mind should be as still as a mountain. Tuning the breath, gather it into the gold crucible. Stabilize the spirit, guard the jade pass. If you can increase the grain of rice day by day, you will be rejuvenated. So these are like, you know, this kind of language is very common in Taoism. It's sort of poetic, allegorical, symbolic about how to do the inner alchemy. Mm-hmm. So
what does that mean to you, increasing the inner, what do you say?
The grain of rice day by day.
What does that refer to, you think, the inner grain of rice? Is that like the building of chi? Or what does that mean? The building of internal food?
Yeah, it's like the gradual refinement of spirit and energy that becomes what you nourish yourself on. And it gradually kind of solidifies. And, you know, this is the kind of thing, in a lot of the old literature, they talk about the pill, you know, like you create the elixir, which is like a pill or some medicine. So, you know, she's talking about it as a grain of rice. You know, that's the shape of it. Uh-huh. I'm not sure that she means rice or grain. I think she's talking about, you know,
I think refers to, from my interpretation, the food, the elixir, the substance, the nourishment.
Exactly.
It's all rice.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Right. But the idea that it is congealed and condensed into that's also very prevalent in Taoist literature. You know, they talk about the elixir, the pill, the pearl. You know, so it's like some energy that is condensed and has nourishment.
Yeah. So part of the conference will be sharing the practical aspects of cultivating chi, and the other part will be more like the lectures and the philosophy. I mean, it's amazing you got someone like Eve Unsler there, the woman who wrote the Vagina Monologues, probably the most liberating piece of theater ever written for women. I mean, how'd you get her, and what is her role going to be?
Well, Eve is the keynote speaker, and, you know, she went on after she wrote the Vagina Monologues, and you're absolutely right about that being a very liberating theatrical experience. After she did that, the last few years, she's created this event called V-Day, which is on Valentine's Day. And it's also called 1 Billion Rising. And it's about stopping violence against women.
Worldwide, every year
around on Valentine's Day, there are these women who are dancing in the street in this, you know, as a way of bringing attention to this problem, which is, you know, violence against women, which I don't want to go into that part of it. But how did we get her? Well, Eve, a lot of people don't know this, but it's public knowledge. She had cancer, uterine cancer, and she now is healed herself through, you know, various combinations of things, Western medicine, integrative, you know, a bunch of things. And so she has a new theater piece called Healing the Body of the World. And it really kind of is in line with the conference's mission, which is, you know, what I've just been speaking about. So Eve is, her role is the keynote speech. And
what is she going to be talking about?
That is healing the body of the world. So it's linking your personal healing to the world's healing. Basically. I mean, I don't know anything more than that particularly. I mean, I haven't heard it. I haven't seen it. How did we get her? One of our organizing team is a woman in Germany, Renew Lee. And Renew is involved in the 1 Billion Rising group in Germany. And when we were speaking about who we would want for a keynote speaker, Eve was like number one on our list, and we really had no idea she would say yes, but she said yes. So it's awesome. And
I mean, so this addresses women. It's a conference for women that is includes physical exercise, because there'll be some qigong specialty or qi exercise for women's cultivation, right?
Every day.
So it's a body, mind, spirit.
Yeah. It's body, mind, spirit. It's there is this activist part of it, which, you know, it's something that it was an idea that I had a while ago, but I didn't realize that it was really part of the Immortal Sisters' legacy, which was very just amazing to me that it is part of their legacy. And that is that some of these women who were enlightened, they were, you know, there's this history of women with quote unquote extraordinary powers, who are termed as witches. We all know this. This is a history. This is nothing new. It's, you know, women have been associated with that.
Right. Right.
Women who have been associated with these things usually have had some kind of practice, you know, some kind of spiritual practice. And you know, some of them ended up becoming healers of various kinds and, you know, using herbs, using, you know, whatever they're using, meditation, qigong, yoga, Ayurveda, whatever they're using. And others have, like, used their powers to protect the world in some way. So there's a quote in the translation by Thomas Cleary about from an immortal sister who lived in the 10th century. And what she says is, I'm going to read this because it's Powerful. Those who have now attained spiritual immortality but cannot as yet live in heaven number in the thousands. They are all in various places on earth, accumulating virtue, carrying out practical undertakings so that they may eventually make the ascent. Some of them take care of rivers and lakes. Some of them manage the hidden government. Some are in charge of mountains. They work to benefit 10,000 generations, to rid the earth of what is harmful, to heal the sick, and eliminate problems, acting mercifully toward the troubled and uplifting the fallen, rescuing the weak and the helpless. Their hidden works are carried out in secret. Their virtuous deeds are practiced covertly. Such is their range that they cannot be encompassed in nation. So this is written by a woman in the 10th century. And it, if you read the secret teachings of Taoist women, you'll see that, you know, people who have attained certain understanding often are the activists. They're the quiet activists. They're doing their work to protect the earth. They're protecting, unfortunate people. They're protecting. They're doing all this stuff. And in our world today, it just feels like we're at a critical point, and it's not time to go live in a cave. I don't think. So
we all live in
I wanted this
in,
part of it.
We all live in caves in New York, don't you think?
Little caves, yeah.
But what is the activism then? What is it that you're saying we should do as people, women? What is the activism?
The activism is to follow your, you know, in the that way, to follow that spontaneous desire to do positive things in the world. You know, it took Julia Butterfly Hill into a tree.
Yes, she lived in a tree in order to protect the redwoods. That's true. Yes, that is.
That's right.
That's an out and out activism, but it's great. So I know her. Who are these other women? Livia Cohn. Who is that? I mean.
Oh, Livia Cohn is probably the most well-known translator of original Taoist texts.
Like Thomas Cleary, you're saying. She's like a...
She's an academic person. Mm-hmm. She's written about 30 books. She's just an incredibly knowledgeable person. Mm-hmm. Olivia, on a trip that she did to China about 6 years ago, it was called Following in the Footsteps of Lao Tzu. Mm-hmm. And all the sacred mountains of Lao Tzu and all the important places associated with Lao Tzu. But Livia has written and edited about over 30 books, and she has a press called Three Pines Press, mm-hmm. which is like the Western voice of Taoism. And some of her books, I'm just going to like list a few of them because there's so many. Taoist meditation and longevity techniques, early Chinese mysticism, the Taoism handbook, Taoist body cultivation, sitting in oblivion. Anyway, she's like a very important person in terms of bringing the original Taoist texts into English. She's German, but she's lived in the States. She was a professor at Boston University, and now she's retired from academia, and she has her own press, and she, you know, writes books, and she does trips to various places. Right. And,
She sounds great. Then you have all these, looks like Chinese women. Are they all practitioners? Max Dashu, Lindsay Wu, Daisy Lee, Robin Wong, Wendy Wang.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so these are all different kinds of... Max Dashu
yes.
is a feminist historian who has created an archive called the Suppressed Histories Archive to research women's history. And she's collected, you know, I don't know, like 100,000 images of women on female cultural heritage. And she's like an alternative historian. She does not live in academia. She's on the outside of it. She recently wrote a book about witches and pagans. She's going to talk about two of the one thing called the Cosmic Weaver, which is a visual presentation of the Western grandmother, which is like who's a shaman from early Chinese history. And and then she's going to do another one about another shamanic from the Chinese tradition, you know, people who like heal and do rain dancing and, you know, the more sort of traditional medicine woman type stuff.
Great. No, that she sounds great. I know some other witch type women. If you need some more witches there.
Well, you know, we have some spaces available, and we encourage people if they want to come to sign up soon, because some of the room categories are filled and others are getting filled up.
Well, this sounds like a really important.
So,
are you videotaping the conference? It should be recorded.
Yeah, we're going to record it. We don't know if we're going to do live streaming. We really don't have the money for that right now.
I know someone who might.
But it's possible that we could get some.
I have a friend who would probably be interested in recording it. I'll give you her number, okay?
Oh, terrific. That is wonderful.
After the show.
So, thank you. I want to just mention a couple of these other Chinese women here. Mm-hmm. Yes. And the first one is Lindsay Wei. And Lindsay, a young woman who lives in California, she's a Chinese American woman. And she is a 24th generation practitioner of one of the Wudong sects of Taoism. And she spent 10 years at the Five Immortals Temple in the Wudong Mountains of China. And she wrote a beautiful book called The Valley Spirit, a female story of Taoist cultivation. And I encourage people, if they're interested, because it's a beautiful thing, on our website, on her presenters page, we have a little clip of her practicing. She's a beautiful practitioner. She does Bagua and Xing Yi and Tai Chi, and she moves so beautifully. And she also does capoeira. But we have a little clip of her reading from The Valley Spirit, and it's just beautiful to see her move and listen to her talk about her own spiritual awakening. And so we're very, very happy to have Lindsay.
Great. She sounds great. The name of her book is what again?
Incredible. Her book is called The Valley Spirit, mm-hmm. A Female Story of Taoist Cultivation.
Great.
So one of the things I just want to mention about the timeliness of this conference, Alan, is that there now is a critical mass of women who have been practicing various aspects of Taoist tradition who have something to teach. You know, for many years, I mean, for many years, most of what you see of the Taoist tradition has come through men.
Right.
And you know, I'm the first to say I've had a lot of men teachers, and I honor them, I respect them, I've learned tremendous things from them. But for myself and for many other women, we now have experience. I was telling my student this morning that I've been practicing the sexual alchemy for 36 years.
Wow.
That's a long time, 36 years to practice. And there are, you know, all of the women that we have who are presenters.
Sexual alchemy, huh? You should tell people what that means, though.
I will, but I just want to finish this thought, which is that all the women that we have presenting are really steeped in this tradition. They're not like people who just came to it last year or something like that. You know, they're really people who have practiced and have their own experience to share. And it's like a time, you know, it's like a moment of a kind of spiritual maturity that there are women right now who can share this stuff to the culture. And anyway, so sexual alchemy, what do you want to say about that? Okay, this is what most people are, I shouldn't say most people, but many people are drawn to Taoism because of the sexual practice. And so I learned sexual practice from my teacher, Mantak Chia. And I started that practice in 1981. When I was a young woman, and I'm now 66, and I credit that practice with keeping me young and healthy. And why? Yeah. Well,
yeah, why? And what exactly is the practice like in a little encapsulation?
Yeah, sure. So the Taoists, they believed that, or they had the experience that sexual energy was like cosmic food. It's a nurturing energy that can, it's by its nature, it's creative, it multiplies, it generates. That's what sexual energy is for, to create the next generation. So if you're not gonna have children, or if you're finished with your childbearing years, or you've had a few children and you're not gonna have more, your body has this agenda that it's going to continue to maintain your reproductive system. And because we're animals, we're creatures, and that's what the physical body wants. That is the biology. So the female spiritual practitioners of old times, the nuns, or what they called the Kun Dao, they recognized this, and they developed to recycle that sexual energy and use it for spiritual development.
Well, you can also use men too. Men do it in a different way, but yes. Yes.
Particularly talking about women right now.
Right.
So, yes, the men have the same, it's basically the same thing. You retrieve the sexual energy, the body's desire to maintain, you know, you take that energy instead of putting it out and letting go of it, you recycle it, and you use it for more pleasure, for healing, for spiritual development, for bonding with your partner. And so there are various practices that you do to retrieve that energy and to use it. Now, these days, it's all about the jade egg. You know, the other night, even on the Stephen Colbert show, in his opening monologue, he made fun and joked about Gwyneth Paltrow's wellness summit and her jade eggs that she sold for $68 or something like that. Anyway, it was like a big joke, you know, women putting rocks in their hoo-ha and all this. But it's no wonder, because these days, a lot of women have taken the jade egg practice out of the context of its original form, which was a spiritual context, and are just using it in a very young way to build up their vaginal muscles. I mean, you even see women on YouTube pulling like surfboards with their vaginas. Now, you know, if that's what somebody wants to do, it's not my place to tell them it's not the right way to do it. But if you are interested in where this practice comes from and talking to women and learning from women who have experience with it, the Immortal Sisters Conference will have one day devoted to sexuality. And there's a panel in the morning with Dr. Saida Desilet and Renu Lee and Daisy Lee of Radiant Lotus Qigong. And Daisy has developed her own form of Qigong, which takes like the best from Tibetan and Chinese and other practices for health. And Saida is a person who originally trained in the Universal Healing Tao, and she now has a PhD.
Yes,
and she's
interviewed Saida.
She's
one of my most popular interviews because she was one of the first people come out with Jade Egg. Of course, it's been around a long time, but she was one of the first people on my show that talked about that. So
So Saida has her own, you know, take on it, and Renu in Germany, she's like the doyen of this. You know, she's in her 50s and she's been practicing for a very long time. And so these are women who've been around the block with the practice. And they're not going to teach you how to pull a surfboard or any of these very young oriented things. But what can the practice teach you about your yin essence and how to use it, and how to use it for your own health?
Well,
and pleasure.
So this looks like a full on, is it 5 days of teaching?
5 days. And there's actually on the website the schedule. If you, the website is Immortal, I-M-M-O-R-T-A-L, Immortal. MortalSistersConference.com, and the schedule of the conference is posted, and you can see, you know, exactly what every day is going to look like.
I mean, and I think you'll get a lot more than 100 people there. This looks like a very, you know, full-on conference for a lot of women. Right?
I hope so. I hope so. And you know, there's still a couple of more months, but if you are interested in coming, it's a good time to register. As I said, some of the room categories
are talking to the women listening there. Yes.
Yeah, for women listening, definitely.
I would love to see video. I'm going to put you in touch with someone who maybe is able to do this because she's very much into promoting this sort of stuff in her videos. So
awesome! I'd love to be in touch.
Yes. But what do you hope will come out of this in a way? I mean, is this going to be a yearly thing? But also, what do you think will come from this?
What's
your vision? Why did you do
Alan,
this?
Why did I do this? I guess some immortal sister whispered in my ear and said, do it.
Right.
I don't know. I think that what I'm hoping for is that this conference will have a ripple effect, mm-hmm. and that more women will start to see the Taoist practice as a good way to live life. It's a kind of a lifestyle of creating harmony and balance within yourself, mm-hmm. and then letting that experience ripple out into your immediate world, into your circle of family and friends and colleagues. And, you know, there's a lot of talk these days about the rising of the divine feminine and the goddess energy and all of this. And I really feel like this is part of that. Mm-hmm. And so my deepest hope for this is that the women that come and are moved to come and experience this amazing confluence of powerful yin women female energy will have a transformative experience and will take that experience out into their worlds and affect other people. And yes, I would like to do this again. I don't know if every year, maybe in 2 years. It's been a tremendous amount of work.
It is a lot of work pulling something like this together.
And, you know, we have 20 presenters, and you know, it's expensive to bring everybody there, mm-hmm. Oh, it's a huge amount of work. I'm very fortunate that I've had a beautiful team that has been working with me. Yes. And, you know, I don't know where this is going to go, but having another conference in a couple of years, maybe with a different kind of subtitle. This one was Returning to Tao, and maybe next time it'll be something else. Maybe next time it'll be slightly different. I don't know.
Well, it would be nice. I mean,
a lot of men are interested.
Yeah, I'm very interested.
A lot of men are interested. Yeah.
But also, and the focus could be not just the Taoist traditions. The goddess tradition is alive, of course, in the Hindu, religions, and in many, the Shekinah. I mean, it's the return of the goddess in many ways. So there's a lot of aspects of bringing in immortal sisters beyond the Tao, but the Tao is one major, of course.
Yeah, the Tao is my tradition. This is right. What I've studied and worked with. So this is what has come through me. And you know, I don't know where it will lead, but I think it's been a beautiful creative process to bring the people who are interested together, and it's been fabulous. And I know the event will be fabulous, too.
It will be fabulous because I can just see from the people there, it engages the mind through these great translators, and then the body through the Taoist practices, and then the spirit through and the political aspect, Yvonne Slayer. I mean, this is a really all-around conference. And, you know, there's some women in New York that who give these conferences about, isn't it great to be a woman? But they don't go that far. You know, I have friends who've taken those, and it's like, okay, then what else? You know, let's talk about, let them get in touch with what you're offering here. Yeah, so,
Well, thank you so much.
Yes, I'm excited for you, and I'm happy that you're doing this. And you're in the sexual Taoist practice for women, and because you've been cultivating that energy for so long, what have you noticed that has changed or happened for you in the cultivation of the Taoist sexual energy?
Well, I would just say I feel younger and healthier than most women I know my age. Number one, and you know, I feel like being able to circulate and use that sexual energy has been a huge gift in my life. Mm-hmm.
When you say use the energy, and do you use it with yourself or with partners? I mean,
both.
I see. Okay.
I have had partners who were into and partners who were not into it.
Right.
And I've had no partner at times. So, right. You know, when you learn the practice, you learn your own solo cultivation, and you learn how to use your own sexual energy for your own health and healing, and to open your heart and to, you know, generate and fertilize your mind. These days, my intention, and this is what I'm going to be talking about, my presentation at the conference is called Queen Concerns, Bone. And I think a lot of women, as they get older, have these problems with their bones, and Alzheimer's is a huge potential problem for older people and women in particular. Even the Alzheimer's organization has studied the fact that estrogen deficiency can affect people's cognitive functioning. And if you know the Tao practice and you know how to circulate sexual energy, you can use it to keep your brain functioning, to keep your bones strong. And I mean, me right now, like, my intention and my practice is to be the smartest 80-year-old in the room when I get there. I'm going to continue with that agenda.
Well, that's great. No, it's a great inspiration, 80 or more. The website is immortalsistersconference.com. What's the cost of the conference? What are you charging?
Well, it's depending on the kind of accommodations that you choose. The least expensive accommodations is the dormitory, and there are only a few beds left in that. It's a big room with 12 beds, and then there's also deluxe camping, and those for the 5 days are $1,425. What? And we have a $200 discount for 20 women under 35.
Okay. That sounds great.
That's the least expensive. And then we have a few expensive deluxe single rooms with a private bath in the Kathmandu house. And that's $25 for 5 nights. And so there's some other, you know, accommodations in between there. So it ranges from $1,425 to the most expensive $2,125.
That's great.
And like I said, we have the $200 discount for 20 women under 35. Mm-hmm. So we want to really encourage young women to come.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And participate.
I'll put that out there to young women. What is this video on your website, on the Immortal Sisters website? Is that something to watch?
Yeah. There are two videos there. Okay. One is about the mission statement, and the other one is kind of about the activist piece of it. And, okay. You know, they're just fun things to watch. There's also... on the website, there's a blog that has some interesting things to read, and some, like I have the Tao of Bone Health, a really quick little visual presentation there. There's an interview with Marie Favorito that was done on NPR. There's there's also a press page that has some articles that have been written about the Immortal Sisters and why it's important right now and why women practice differently. Anyway, there's a lot of other content on the website that might give you a little insight into the concerns that will be explored. And I should also say we have some great entertainment. We have some a wonderful singer, Elisa Brown. We have a sound healer. We have a cacao ceremony. We have a drumming thing, a woman coming from Switzerland. You know, so every evening there will be some really fun things. We have a fantastic push hands teacher coming from California, Marilyn Cooper, who developed some peace games using push hands called Pushing for Peace. And yeah, it's just going to be a great event.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Sharon, for sharing some time and putting on this amazing possibility for women. And hopefully it will help the men as well, because if the women, you know, the Native Americans say you can't fly with only one wing. So so you're balancing out the whole yin-yang right here and I think helping the world. So thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Alan. And I really appreciate having this time to talk with you about it.
It is really exciting. It's a great vision. Thank you. Yes. And your website is, your personal website is the, what is it?
Is DaoSharon.com. DaoSharon.com.
Great. I've been talking to Sharon Smith, who's a Taoist practitioner in New York, and she's putting on this conference, Immortal Sisters Conference, immortalsistersconference.com. Check it out, August 25th to the 31st of 2017. Thank you for listening. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. And if you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com, or email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. And check out my YouTube, youtube.com/newrealities. Thanks for listening. Thank you.